Hey, Meat.
Hey, BT.
What are we fighting over today?
We've got some Cardinals tickets. We are, get this, calling all soccer fans.
Of course.
Soccer night. It returns to Busch Stadium on Wednesday, June 26th. Fans purchasing the special theme ticket will receive an exclusive long-sleeve Cardinals soccer jersey. You can get your soccer night tickets now at cardinals.com/theme.
Very nice. All right, we had a Hall of Fame fight lined up, but Aaron couldn't make it. John is stepping in. John, what's going on, man? How you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing very well. Well, you ready to take on Megamind today, start your own Hall of Fame run?
I will do my best.
I like that. That's all we can ask for, you know? That's all I hope for tomorrow for the Blues. You know, just do your best.
And then am I going against Randy or Brad?
Well, it's definitely going to be Randy. Why, John?
No comment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well.
Thank you, John.
Well, I think what he's trying to say is he was hoping to have an easier time winning, but he has to go against Randy.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Which isn't very nice.
I understand. No, it's, but facts are facts, you know? If I let those hurt me, you know, I'd be sad all the time. All right, John, you ready to take on Randy?
I am ready.
All right, good. Question number one. What is the only country with three Women's World Cup titles? Is it the USA, Brazil, or Germany?
I will go with the USA.
Question number two. Besides Marcelo Zuna, who was the only player to bat fourth for the Cardinals this season as a starter? Is it Paul DeJong, Jose Martinez, or Yadi Molina?
I'll go with Paul DeJong.
Question number three, John. The record for 30-point games in the NBA Finals is 23. Who has that record? Is it Shaq, LeBron, or MJ?
When in doubt, go MJ.
And question number four, Brett Hull has 24 game-winning goals in the playoffs. Who is he tied with for that record? Is it Wayne Gretzky, Mike Bossy, or Glenn Anderson?
Had to ask a hockey question.
Well, it's the season.
Yeah, you know?
Bossy had a good run back in the 80s. We'll try him.
All right, let's bring in Randy. All right, John, how are we feeling?
I feel a 4-3 final.
All right.
Oh,
all right. I like that. Which side of that do you think you're on?
We'll wait a few minutes, and maybe that'll be the hockey score tonight. We'll go with that, too.
All right. I'm fine with that. Which side do you think the Blues are going to be on tomorrow night?
Oh, the Blues are winning that thing.
Darn right.
All right.
Well, I mean,
he knows what's going to happen
every
tomorrow.
Once in a while, we get somebody infiltrated, and it ends up being like a random fan from the other team. And we've had Cubs fans do the fight. I don't think we've had any Bruins fans
doing
the fight, but never know. I mean, timing would have been impeccable.
I got my tickets for Busch Stadium. We're good to go here.
Excellent.
Beautiful.
Hey, Randy, say hi to John.
Hey, John, how are you?
I'm good, Randy. How you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for listening. Thanks for playing.
You ready for this, Randy?
Ready.
By the way, John was a tad bit disappointed he didn't get to fight against me.
As
most callers are, is what it is. Here we go, Randy. Question number one. What is the only country with three Women's World Cup titles?
I think it's the USA.
Question number two, besides Marcelo Zuna, who was the only player to bat fourth for the Cardinals this season as a starter?
Batting fourth as a starter was not Goldie. May have been DeJong. I'll go with Jose Martinez.
Question number three, Randy. The record for 30-point games in the NBA Finals is 23. Who has that record?
23 30-point games in the NBA Finals. I think I know this, but I'm going to take the lifeline.
We've got Shaquille O'Neal, LeBron James, or Michael Jordan?
I will go with Michael.
And question number four, Randy, Brett Hull has 24 game-winning goals in the playoffs. Who is he tied with for that record?
99, Wayne Gretzky.
We've got a winner. John, I'm sorry, he got you. You got half of the score right. Randy, you got all four. John, you got two. It is the USA. They've won three Women's World Cup titles, 91, 99, and 15. Jose Martinez is the only other Cardinal to bat in the four-hole for the Birds this year. And MJ, that is, John, good choice. When you have an option to go with Michael Jordan, you go for it. He has a record for 30-point games in the NBA Finals. And I kind of thought that you would end up going the same direction with this one. When, in fact, you have a chance to pick Wayne Gretzky, you do it, because him and Holley have 24 game-winning goals in the playoffs. So, John, he got you. Thanks for fighting, and try again.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, John. Good to have you with us on 101 ESPN, where it's 4:11. Your time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. By the way, we did check, and Kevin Durant is a UFA after next season. So he can not opt out, get his $34.3 million next year from the Warriors, and then become a free agent after 2020. And see if he can play a little bit down the stretch and in the playoffs next year.
It's a good deal. It's a nice cushion to have.
It is.
To have a $34.3 million cushion just in case.
Yeah.
I still wouldn't be shocked, though, if some team just said, all right, maybe this is our only chance to lock him up.
Completely agree with you. I mean, but an Achilles injury has that's a really tough one to get
he's
past.
Is he 32 now or 31 now? He'll be 32 when he comes back for the season next year, or when he's ready.
Yeah, so I think 31 by that time. Yeah. So yeah,
if you're him, I guess his agent would know that that contract is on the horizon. But if you're him, do you want to opt out? And by the way, it's only 31.5; it's not 34.3. But do you want to opt out unless you have the knowledge that somebody's going to give you the monster?
I think
deal?
You have to find out first, and they would know.
You would know.
They'd have a pretty good idea.
You would know.
Yeah.
Coming up next, as we roll on in the fast lane, the Cardinals seem to have lost their edge, but is there anyone on the current roster that's capable of giving them that edge back? That's next on 101 ESPN. Well, back in the day, the Cardinals obviously had Tony La Russa, who had no problem sparring with Dusty Baker in the Cubs dugout, and Dave Duncan, who had no trouble getting into a fight with the Pirates manager Lloyd McClendon during pregame. They had Brad Thompson, who would drill David Wright when he wasn't happy with the way things were going in a game.
Hold on.
Yeah.
I missed David Wright.
Oh, okay. Attempted to drill. Well,
no, I didn't. It got
him?
Away.
Did you scare him?
I don't think so. I got him to ground into a double play afterwards.
Okay.
So that was something.
Well, the Carpenter would yell in at guys.
He really would.
Yeah, Carpenter. The point I'm making is that the Cardinals had a definite edge about them in the way that they took the field, in the way the game was approached. And it was a hard edge. They talked about a hard nine. And baseball is never going to be like it was then, even 10 years ago, right? Because all the players know each other. All the players are part of the union. All the players are watching out for each other. That being said, I thought it was striking the other day when Madison Bumgarner got ticked off at Muncy for hitting the home run. And I'd like to see the Cardinals have that sort of a hard edge again. I know Yachty brings it back tonight as he gets back into the lineup, but it just doesn't seem like this team has that demeanor about them.
Yeah, but I really don't think any team has that demeanor. But it's great that Madison Bumgarner has that. His team's in the basement, you know, I would love to see that addition here, by the way. Just that guy in particular, I would love to see it. But I just don't think that's the game. I was just looking at all the first-place teams right now. The Twins. Not too many people know the Twins, actually.
No, right.
They're just really a very balanced team. But I don't see some guy on that team where I'm just like, that guy's bringing the edge. I feel the same way. The Astros. Astros are the best team in all the lands, in my opinion. I don't see a guy. Verlander's got some of it when he's out there. But as far as position players go, is there that guy? Like, Altuve's not that guy. I feel like energy and edge are two different things.
Definitely.
The Cardinals have some guys with energy. Jose Martinez has a lot of energy. Bader. I don't see him being an edge guy. Maybe Bader's got a little bit of it. Yachty is your closest guy to that. But I think that it's the same thing, and we could have this conversation about edge, or a synonym, I guess, for this is they look flat. Anytime you're not hitting, you appear to not have these things. You do look flat. You look like you lack an edge. I'll tell you this, they care.
They give a damn
every single game, and I don't think that you have to go out there firing brimstone because, you know, and that proves that you care. But I understand the optics of, well, it looks bad. It always looks bad when you're not playing well.
My thing is, I just wonder if a player like a Bumgarner if that attitude permeates throughout a clubhouse. His obvious disdain for losing. Not that everybody doesn't, but everybody loves to win, but not everybody hates losing. And I'd love to have that guy if that demeanor was permeated throughout the clubhouse.
See, and I don't know if that matters as much in baseball as it does in a sport like hockey, where physical play is part of the equation, and teams like the Blues have to be physical in order to win. In baseball, when most of the game is one-on-one, it is you versus a pitcher.
And you,
right?
It's a competition. You have to be intensely competitive.
Right, but if you, as a hitter, try too hard, you're going to fail a lot of times. I mean, I think there's a difference between being locked in and being intense
but
about
there's
it.
There's also, and obviously ability is part of delivering a great at-bat where you don't give the at-bat away. And that's part of it, too, is you need to have those players that, it's one thing to say, yeah, I'm going to go give a tough at-bat. But if you're, Rex Hudler would tell us, Rex Hudler can't give you a tough at-bat, right?
It's all good to have a mindset. Then you flail at three sliders. I don't have it. Look, I played pissed off, and that's just how I was. That's what I, and it wasn't a manufactured thing. That's just who I was when I played. I was just angry. But not everybody has that. And by the way, for me, it wasn't always a good thing. It got to a point where it ended up hurting me a little bit more. I was never good at the washing one away directly after a game or a bad inning or a bad outing. And I do have a big respect for those that can. I just feel like there's a fine line. Everybody has. You don't get to this level if you don't have that sort of passion, if you don't have that sort of edge. But everybody shows it a little bit differently.
And I'm kind of two-faced about this, because sometimes when a guy has a prickly personality, it bothers me. But when the Cardinals brought in A.J. Pierzynski, even though it didn't manifest itself in the media, he kind of had that. Lackey had that. Matheny called him crusty. Chris Sale has that. You were on him with the White Sox, Ronge. And I'm just talking about that sort of a guy in a clubhouse.
See, and that's why I think it doesn't really have or necessarily have much to do whether or not the team wins, because Chris Sale was on some really crappy teams, and he was probably the best player on them a lot of times, with the exception of Jose Abreu. AJ was on some really bad teams as well. He was on a World Series team, but he was also on some crappy teams after that. I think it's a thing that we bring up when we're searching for answers. Why are the Cardinals not well above 500? Because they need to be right now. They're better than they should.
That's the thing. Why is a talented team not performing?
And I don't know, but to take it back to what BT said a moment ago, if you look at all the teams that are in first place right now, you're not saying that about them. You're not saying, well, the Twins are an edgy team, the Astros are edgy.
We did get some good messages, by the way, about the Astros and Bregman. I did. Bregman's got a little bit of that to him. So thank you for the text in 65780.
The Phillies are in first place. I don't know. Maybe you would say that about Bryce Harper.
Bryce has flair.
You might have that. That's
and I think
what
Arrieta probably has that too. Jake Arrieta.
He's got a little bit of red ass in him.
Yeah.
I think it means more when you have if you're looking for somebody to do it. I kind of want my position players to be that way. So just looking back, and this is going old school again, and by the way, the game has changed quite a bit. Talking about hate losing. Albert hated losing.
Yes.
Edmonds hated losing. Scott Rolen hated losing. David Eckstein, as nice as he was, hated losing.
Yep.
Like so, but I don't think that's the only way that you can build a team.
Well, you need to have talent, too.
Well, and MV3 is a nice three to throw out there.
I just look at this group. And from a personality standpoint, they're all swell guys, but they do seem like they have kind of that benign, just we're happy to be here
so,
kind of.
I don't agree with that at all. I believe that they have an inherent belief that they're going to fix things, that the process is going to show results at some point. And I know this for a fact. A lot of people have a big-time misrepresentation of Mike Shield. We got a bunch of text messages already. I think I read three Mr. Rogers about Mike Shield. Mike Shildt will get in people's ass. Mike Shildt is fired up. He carries himself very well in the media. But I promise you this, he has a firm grasp in that room. He has the respect of each and every one of those guys. And it's not the respect because this is Club Med and he lets us do whatever we want. There's an accountability there with Mike Shildt that I don't think that was there before.
See, and I do think that's true, too, when it comes to managers. Just what you see on the field, what you see on television is not what's going on. That's like 20% of his job. You don't know what he's doing when they're in the clubhouse privately, when he's in his office privately, who he's talking to. You don't really have any idea, but you can have a mis conception because you see what you see and you just extrapolate that to everything else. And I don't know if that's really the problem here. Maybe, and I think this team is better than what it's showing, but there is a possibility that they're just not as good as we thought they were going to be. That with the exception of guys, with the exception of Paul Goldschmidt, who I do believe by the end of the year is going to be what he usually is, unless something's bothering him. He's Paul Goldschmidt. He's been one of the best hitters in the National League for several years now. So he should end up being that way. But with the exception of him, with the exception of Molina, maybe they're just not that great. I mean, that's a distinct possibility that...
Well, the numbers are bearing that out currently.
Yeah, I mean, maybe...
They're mediocre right now.
Right, maybe in the end, that's just who they are.
If you talk to Whitey, one of the things that shocked Whitey when he took over the Cardinals in 1980 was that they didn't care whether they won or lost. They would come into the locker room, and they would be the exact same, and they could joke around after a loss, and they would joke around after wins. They lost a whole lot more than they won. And it was personalities that he had to change. It wasn't he changed guys rather than trying to get people to change. He just changed the guy and got new guys.
And see, that's why I'm leaning toward what I said a moment ago, as opposed to it being a bunch of guys who are just willing to allow that to happen. I don't think Yadier Molina is somebody who would allow the rest of his team to just be nonchalant about it. I think, and BT knows him better than the rest of us, would he not speak up if he felt like everybody else on the team was just kind of,
I think there are a lot
whatever.
Of guys that would. If, in fact, they were carrying themselves that way. And certainly Yadi is one of those.
So that's why I don't really think that's the issue.
I think that it's chicken and the egg is what it is. As soon as this team starts hitting, all of a sudden they've got edge. All of a sudden they don't look flat anymore. And they've got it all figured out. And now they care because they're hitting. It's all perception. And Mike Schilt has talked about this too. He realized it's all about results. Nobody wants to hear about the labor. They want to see the baby. He gets that. They get that. And look, this has been a long labor so far.
Coming up, we're going to talk Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final with Steve Levy of ESPN. He's next on 101 ESPN. With Cardinal World Series champ Brad Thompson and Chris Ronji, I'm Randy Carricker. We head now to the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. Steve Levy and Barry Melrose and the ESPN crew have spent a lot of time here in St. Louis over the last couple of weeks. Tomorrow night, Game 7 in Boston, and the Blues and the Bruins will determine who the Stanley Cup champion for 2019 is going to be. Steve Levy is with us now on 101 ESPN. Great to have you with us. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on. It's been an unbelievable series, best in recent memory, and worthy of a Game 7.
Steve, we've been talking about it since Game 6, and maybe it's just more so to, you know, make us feel better. Look, you're in Game 7 after they were in the basement in January, so life is pretty darn good right now. But it feels like for Blues fans right now and just the Blues in general that that's kind of how the story is supposed to end. It should be a Game 7. Nothing should be easy about the way this season has gone for the Blues, Steve.
No, it's clearly not. Obviously, they were set up for a big party in that Game 6. I couldn't believe how many Blues alumni were in the house, and it's great. I think the Blues do that better than 95% of the NHL clubs, and you know how all the guys still stay in the area, and that just speaks to you know how great a place St. Louis is to both play hockey professionally and raise a family. So I know how excited people were, and some people actually think that's had an impact on the team, and maybe the reason the home record is, well, if it's not poor, at least it's not as good as the road record, and that actually getting out of town could help limit some of the distractions for the Blues. We'll see. I do think that was their best opportunity, St. Louis, to win on home ice and get that done in six. And they really, you know, they let the Bruins claw back and keep the Bruins alive. And I think the Bruins will be real dangerous tomorrow night.
There have been a lot of, on both sides of this, from Bruins fans, from Blues fans, accusing the other side of being dirty, their players being dirty, and maybe being upset with the officials and two officials from Game 5 are not able to be available for tomorrow night's game. Has this series been called correctly as far as you're concerned? And do you feel like there's been one team that has been worse in terms of the dirt than the other?
Well, I can't say the game's been called correctly because of the miss the other night. I mean, that was clearly a penalty and should not have led to that Blues goal. And that was certainly a break for St. Louis, I think. I don't see anyone objectively who could have watched that and said, hey, that was, you know, that was the right play. So that was a definite missed call. The ironic thing to me is, and I wish it could be my own thought, I don't want to steal it from anybody else, but Ray Ferraro, longtime NHL player, now Canadian broadcaster, tweeted out, you know, everybody's complaining about the rough, tough, and Blues, and, you know, the big, bad Blues, and, you know, Boston's 95-year franchise has been based on that kind of hockey. You know, in the 70s, it was all about the Flyers, you know, and the Broad Street Bullies and the big, bad Bruins. So it's really the first time, I think, in Bruins history, you know, they've been the smaller, quicker, little team that's getting pushed around. And I think the Blues physically have had their way with Boston, but that's the way the roster's built. The Blues have a much, you know, bigger, thicker team. We all know how the Blues banged around the Sharks, and that was a key factor in that series. And there's nothing dirty about it, by the way. I'm not saying that's not a foul play or anything like that, but that's the Blues style. I think the Blues are so much better on the forecheck. The Blues boardwork behind the net, and I mean both nets, is really amazing to watch in person. I'm not sure watching on TV does it justice, but you know, see that the Blues come away with a loose puck, the 50-50 puck, if you will, I don't know, 80-90% of the time. So that's a real advantage for St. Louis, has been. And as Craig Berube said, he thinks some of his guys have been holding back, and they should have let it all fly tomorrow night. And, you know, they'll worry about suspensions next October, which is a pretty good line.
ESPN's Steve Levy with us in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Steve, I thought it was notable the other night that the Bruins' top line finally got some points, 5-on-5, Pastrnak with the goal and Marchand with the assist. Do you get the sense that Bergeron is not at 100% and hasn't been? And how has that affected this series?
Yeah, I mean, that's very fair. That's the tricky part of our job in the Stanley Cup final, and it really applies to no other sport. We know when Kevin Durant is injured, for example, you know he's not at 100%. But hockey players won't give you anything. They will not tell you anything, and that leads to judgment. And a lot of times, maybe we're wrong. And a lot of times, maybe we're right. We will find out after every series. You guys have seen that. After every series, you hear about the losing team, all these guys going in for various surgeries. But the problem with that is, and as rough and tough as these guys are, we sort of take them off the hook for exactly what you said. I mean, Patrice Bergeron, he better be hurt, because if he's not hurt, then we're wondering, why is this great player, probably a Hall of Fame player, not playing up to his expectations? So you certainly would think there is something wrong with him. Marchand has not had a good series, really, certainly not 5-on-5. He's been their guy. Pastrnak's had opportunities, but hasn't been able to score either. The Blues have been the better team 5-on-5. I keep waiting for Bergeron to score, and it would be just like him to be a hero come tomorrow night. He's that good a player. He's so good. He's so quietly good. He never probably gets the due he deserves. But he's close to a hockey god here in Boston, and I expect him to show up tomorrow night. And Jaden Schwartz, by the way, you know, we were talking. Here's another example. Like, is he okay? Like, he was okay the first three rounds. In fact, a lot of people had him as the Conn Smythe Trophy winner for the Blues, should they go on to win the Stanley Cup. And, you know, and we really haven't seen anything out of him in the Stanley Cup final. So it's really odd. These two teams have bought these players as much time as possible and going to a game 7 and let it hang out tomorrow night.
For the Blues, in the first game of the first round against Winnipeg, Ryan O'Reilly got slammed into the boards. I think Tyler Myers got him, and he looked hazy for a while. And he was not great really until the third round. He was good, yep, but not great. And you talk about what Bergeron is capable of tomorrow. I think for the Blues, that guy is Ryan O'Reilly.
Yeah, he's actually gotten much better. And you point out, I was not aware of that first hit in that first game, but numbers tell the story. It's 3 goals in the first 22 playoff games. I mean, think about that. And then all of a sudden, I think he's got 4 goals in the last 3 games now. So, and O'Reilly is much like Bergeron in that he's so good in his own end. He can be dominant on faceoffs. That's why they're both finalists for the Selke Trophy. They're pretty close to mirror image guys. And, you know, so it's interesting. Well, they cancel each other out. Or will one take over and dominate and lead their team to a victory tomorrow night? And that's really the only thing about home ice now that really matters, right? It's really that last change. You get the matchup. So it will be interesting. You know, it gives Bruce Cassidy a chance to put Bergeron on that Shen line, the top line for the Blues. And I've been very impressed with the way Shen's played, and certainly Tarasenko as well.
Steve, I kind of wish we were having the conversation along the lines of a second ago. Is Tuukka Rask okay? Like, he better be hurt. My goodness. I mean, the guy's been unbelievable. If he gets any look at something, he's stopping everything. I mean, even if the Blues are hitting hard, it's going to be tough to get some by this guy.
No, it's my hot take, okay? It's when we did it on SportsCenter for tonight's versions. I'll bring it back tomorrow. I grilled Melrose on it, too. It is my hot take. Usually Game 7 comes down to the goaltending. I do not believe that. I take Tuukka Rask completely out of the equation. In essence, a non-factor in that he's going to be great. Like, he just is. And that leaves the other goalie down at the other end that we don't know about. Jordan Binnington, to me, is the X factor. If he stands on his head and plays great, the Blues absolutely can win. But we can't be sure of that. He's had a couple of rough outings in the first six games. And so we don't really know what kind of Jordan Binnington we're going to get tomorrow night. And I think Rask is spoken for. He is tested. He's been through these game sevens. He's been through the postseasons. And has been living in the Tim Thomas shadow. From 2011 here in Boston when Thomas stood on his head in that seventh game in Vancouver. And so this is an opportunity for Tuukka to sort of, you know, carve out his own slice of Bruins history. But I can't remember the last time Tuukka Rask gave up a soft goal. And, you know, and Binnington's had a few in the series.
As you've watched the Blues closely in the playoffs, why does it look like they're having so much difficulty scoring when they get the man advantage?
That's it, man. That is the single most asked question around media types. And somebody was telling me there's one of the clubs in the what do you guys call the arena there? The Enterprise Center.
Yep.
Checkerdome. No. Savage Center. No.
Yeah. Go on.
No,
yeah.
I can't keep it all straight with the naming rights. that you have a club underneath, and the Blues, with all the alumni that come back, you had like five great power play players in the room, right? Obviously, Brett Hull was there. I'm trying to Jeff Brown, who could run the point. Keith Tkachuk was there. Like, you know, all guys who made entire careers on the power play, and they were all, you know, spewing these ideas. Hey, why don't we try this? Why don't we do this? All these great minds come together, and the Blues have not been able to figure it out. You know what they lack? They lack the quarterback, I think. And I'm not breaking news here. I think that's what it is, guys. I think they have the talent up front. They've got the big shot in Parayko. I think they lack the quarterback type. And Boston has Torrey Krug, for example. And Krug does not have the big shot, but he's creative offensively. He's somehow able to get those passes through into the heavy traffic areas. And I think that's the piece St. Louis is lacking. So, and look, there's nothing else to try, right? You know Craig Berube and his staff. This has been a problem in the opening round of the playoffs. They have absolutely tried everything. A different system, different entry to the zone, different net presence. Different personnel. There's nothing left to try that's new, I don't believe. It's just a matter of it, you know, finally clicking and working for them, I think.
So, Steve Levy, it sounds like you're giving the edge at home to the Bruins tomorrow night. Is that correct?
I am. I think the Blues had their chance in Game 6 going into that game, and a power play goal early with all the chances they had maybe could have been the difference. I thought coming into the series, the Bruins were the better team, the better skilled team, the deeper team. They certainly have the more experienced team, and they have the constant Tuukka Rask in goal. So, look, I would not be surprised if the Blues won, but if I had to pick a team, I think it's Boston at home tomorrow night.
Hey, we love your work. We love everything that you guys are doing with hockey at ESPN,
still,
and it was great to have you here in town.
Even after that prediction, still love me?
Oh, yeah, still love you.
Yeah, it's fine.
From round one, there was a guy that picked Winnipeg to win the whole thing before round one, so it's
right.
We never know.
Hey, we just on behalf of Barry and I, like, we so enjoyed our time in St. Louis. The people around the city, the working in the arena, could not have been nicer. Chaser and Panga were, you know, carrying us around from place to place, and just so hospitable, and we really enjoyed our time. And look, the Blues are the better story, I'll tell you that. If we root for stories, St. Louis Blues winning the Stanley Cup tomorrow night would be the better story, you know?
No doubt. Thank you, Steve. We appreciate it. Take care.
Okay, be well, fellas. Thanks.
That is Steve Levy, ESPN, with us here in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Good guy.
Yeah, he's great. That's fine. I mean, didn't we have somebody say they'd eat a shoe if the Blues won?
Yeah, that was Mike Rupp.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
well, it wasn't that he didn't. I think he said he didn't believe the Blues could find another gear.
Right.
After the way they played in game four, I believe it was, right?
Yeah. So they'll find it tomorrow and he'll eat a shoe.
So and if you win the Stanley Cup, you would have had to have found another gear. So he's going to have to eat a shoe. Are we going to get him on to talk about what kind of shoe?
We are.
All right.
Next up, we want to hear from you with the mic drop feature with the 101 ESPN app. We want to know the moment that you knew you had officially entered dad mode. Was it getting a minivan for the first time? Was it maybe cooking up something on the grill and doing it right?
Maybe.
We want to hear about dad
is
mode.
Is that what being a dad is?
Oh, it's part
grilling
of it.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, you can't mess it up.
Yeah, you got to be
your grilling
mean on
does change a tiny bit when you're a dad, I've found out. Like, the way that I like my hot dogs, I char them a bit, and I like to, like, blow out the
kids
sides.
Kids don't like that kind
of
thing.
No, that's called burnt.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a thing for sure.
Yeah.
A lot of things in life have changed since having a kid, and they're awesome.
On Dad's Week, we want to hear from you on 101 ESPN with the mic drop feature. You're next in the Fast Lane. I got to tell you, it really does hit you. If it doesn't hit you when you witness the birth of a child, it hits you that you're a dad when you can change a diaper and not be grossed out by it.
Yeah. So I had never changed a diaper before.
I neither.
Like I had a younger sister, but it was only like 5 years. I wasn't changing diapers then. Wasn't happening. Didn't change a diaper until it was my son's first one. It was in the hospital. And anybody that's had a kid, they know what that first number two is all about.
Ooh, yeah.
It's sticky. It's awful. It's terrible. No gags, no nothing. Bing, bang, boom. You're in, you're out. That's your kid. You got it done. I mean, that was a moment. I did feel like right afterwards that I should have done the rodeo, like tied up the legs. And, like, good. We're good. What's the score? Did I do good? I would have never jumped into that for somebody else's
kid.
No
chance.
Even if they really needed it. No, that's yours. I'm not
a dad, but I've changed a diaper.
That's
really?
Crazy.
Yeah. I don't know who the kid was, but I changed it. It was really cool of me.
That's very cool of you. Were you grossed out?
Like right? Actually, it was my, I think my cousin.
Okay.
Yeah. That's fine. When he was a baby.
We want to hear from you with the 101 ESPN app. And here is Austin on 101 ESPN.
I knew I was a dad the moment I kept watching Paw Patrol, even though my kids were asleep, trying to figure out if they were going to save those monkeys. Dad life for life.
Dude, I'm totally guilty of that oftentimes. So we'll be hanging out, and a lot of times before bed, if I get home early enough, I'll have the kids, and we'll just hang out, and we'll watch a show or something, and then we'll take them to bed, and I'll come back in the room, and that show is just still on. So Paw Patrol is certainly one of them. Mickey Mouse Clubhouse is a winner, and I'll catch myself just watching it. And then after about 20 minutes, I'm like, what the hell are you doing, man?
I would have never caught on to SpongeBob, though, unless there were kids. And SpongeBob is 50% adult humor.
Yeah, I never got into that. I don't know. My kids aren't there.
Okay.
But I bet
adult
I would like
humor
it.
That they can't get.
Perfect. That's my favorite kind.
Yeah.
Have a little something for me, too, if I'm going to be dedicated to this.
Yeah, it'll be great.
I like that.
Steven is next on 101 ESPN.
Yeah, the biggest thing for me is not having those white shoes when I mow the lawn. Refuse to do that. So I have the blue shoes from Walmart, the throwaways, you know, the $7, $10 ones, and the black socks, because the white socks just aren't going to look right. You know what I mean? I mean, you got to keep it looking nice.
That sounds like a starter kit. By the way, that should be a gift. I know a lot of times that dads do your first kid, you do the diaper party or whatever. That should be a thing. Instead of bringing diapers and beer, you should also bring dad starter kit stuff.
Yeah,
so whether it be the white shoes, black socks, stuff like that, I kind of enjoy. The sunglasses with the thing that hangs around it, I forget what that's called, but that hangs on your neck so
kind
you don't lose your sunglasses.
Lanyard
kind of thing. Yeah. I don't know if that's what it's named.
Yeah, that
but
seems
yeah.
like some dad stuff.
You can't lose them.
Yeah. Which would be great.
Hmm?
If you mow the lawn in white shoes, you can't wear them out anymore because
those are your lawn shoes.
Well, nobody who... Who wears the shoes out that they mow in?
Dads.
I don't think so. I think dad
no,
has.
Well, no, those are you wear. You can't wear them again. But
right.
You used to wear them out, but then you.
Yeah, they become your lawn shoes.
Yeah, your backups.
Right.
Yeah.
We got a text in real quick from the 314 said, "Becoming a dad when sniffing a butt of another human becomes socially acceptable."
That's right.
That's when I knew I was being a dad.
Yeah. Here's Michael.
My true dad moment is today. As I am driving the car that my kids drive to get a tire fixed, I find a cooler of beer in the back. My cooler, some of my beers, two of which were undrinking. Am I upset because my kids were drinking beer or because they didn't drink all of it and some of it's wasted? That's the question every dad should ask.
That is legit. I mean, question.
There's a lot here. There's a lot of layers.
Yeah, you got to unpack some of this.
You could probably be mad at both.
Yeah, you probably can. His kids are grown enough to drive and to steal his beer and his cooler, but not enough to fix their tire. You know, so
or
like,
finish
where are we
the
at?
Beer.
By the way, and that's a thing. And I think every parent knows this. Certainly, my parents know this. My in-laws. Your job of being a parent, Randy, you know this very well. Ron, your mom knows this. Job is never done. It's never done. No. Now, all you do is set your kids up for the best chance of success, but mom and dad are always needed. Like, if you've got somebody there, man, they're always going to be utilized.
It's their car, and he's going to get a tire
fixed.
Right.
Yep. That's right.
No doubt. Brandon is on 101 ESPN.
Second period, game six, about 5 minutes in. Nobody can get my son down to sleep. Grandma tried, mom tries. I put my beer down, pick him up, take the whole second period, get him to sleep. Come back out and watch that crappy third period. I'm a dad.
That's it, man. You got to sacrifice sometimes. Yeah, sure, it's a great game, big moment. Look, dad life is calling. You know, one thing that I realized, and I think that I was just very, very spoiled with we'll call it previous life, but before kids, is that I really thought that I needed way more sleep in my life to function. Like, I thought that, if I don't get a good 8 hours, forget about it. My day's ruined. Dude, we don't need half the sleep that we get, probably. Sometimes you're just going to function. There are no more sick days. There's no more, I don't feel so good. I'm going to sit around. Man, kids don't care.
Adrenaline.
You just get through it.
Yeah,
you pound through it. You're going to be good to go.
Steve, you're on 101 ESPN.
I knew I entered dad mode when I started making stupid voices. Oh, look at the baby. Oh, look at that baby. Man, where'd that even come from? Also, dad jokes all day long. I got them. You want them? I got them.
Well, go ahead and leave some more mic drops.
Yeah.
We can on the 101 ESPN app. We would love all the dad jokes. Maybe that'll be another mic drop for later on. Like if the Blues don't win tomorrow, we'll do dad jokes.
Let's just do 4 hours of dad jokes tomorrow.
Yeah. And let's
Thursday.
Wrap up with Mark on 101 ESPN.
I realized I was a dad when the most peaceful part of my day became that 3-second walk from the car seat passenger door around to the driver's side door of my car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's dad stuff.
That's what dads do, man.
Thinking of this, you were talking about no sick days as a father, right?
Yeah.
What if you get a doctor's note?
What do you mean? For your kids?
The doctor, no, for you. It says, hey, I'm sick. Brad can't do anything today because he's sick. You show that to mom.
Yeah. No.
Does that work?
Well, first of all, mom has way less sick days than dad does, because at least our house, my wife right now doesn't feel good, and she's got the kids, and I think they're at the pool or something doing something fun. It doesn't matter. And sometimes your sick days are just to take care of your kids. You know, it is what it is. You're sick, but you got to take care of the kiddos anyhow. The note's not going to work.
Okay.
It's not going to work.
And we have one more.
My defining dad moment was when I was found myself in their front yard yelling at high school kids to slow down. Go Blues.
Dude, I do that
Go
one
Blues?
Too. I
do
that
really?
One too. Yeah, I'm the first. So right past the stop sign, I'm the first house, and it goes to a cul-de-sac at the end and then turns back around. But I mean, it's downhill a pretty good ways, and I will find myself out there sometime like, damn kids.
Did you used to be the kid that drove too fast in the neighborhood?
Yes, of course.
Me
Everybody
too.
Used to be the kid that drove too fast in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And now I don't like that at all. By the way, we got a dad joke into the Hot Shots text line 65780. It says, I tried an all-almond diet, but that's just nuts. Thank you for that.
Coming up next in the Fast Lane, most workplaces would encourage multitasking, but an elementary school in the Bronx does not agree. That's next before Take It or Leave It on 101 ESPN.